of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear brethren, my dear faithful, today's Mass exalts the justice of God and is shown forth by our Lord's triumphs, of course, by his resurrection and by the sending of the Holy Ghost. So it's expedient for us that our Lord should leave this earth. For from heaven he will send to his church the Spirit of truth, that best gift which comes from the Father of lights. And the Holy Ghost will unite all hearts, teaching them all truth, and will convince Satan and the world of the sin they have committed in delivering our Lord to death, and then continuing to persecute him in his church. But I'd like to comment at some length on the meaning of today's epistle. These words of St. James writes appear and understood by commentators to have been written by him in refutation of an error that was spread amongst the early Christians, namely that God is the author of both good and evil. He maintains that God is the author of all good gifts and only of the good, and that whatever moral evil befalls mankind in this world is a result of his own concupiscence, his own sins. And he goes on to say elsewhere, St. James says, God tempteth no man. St. Paul says also that regarding temptation, that we will not be tempted beyond our strength. Amongst the good gifts which the Father of lights has bestowed upon us, the hearing and speech are also included. So we're going to look at the excellence of these gifts, then how to use them properly, and then gratitude to God for them. First of all, the excellence of hearing and speech can only be done by someone who has an intellect. So the intellect or the mind is one of the greatest gifts that God has conferred upon man. The intellect comprises all those powers by which we acquire, retain, and extend our knowledge. But this faculty has to be developed with age, by education, and contact with our fellow men. Speech is the most efficient means of manifesting the development of our intellectual powers and of utilizing and communicating to others the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, even on a natural level. A striking contrast between possessing these two gifts of intellect and speech are the unfortunate deaf mutes, those who cannot hear nor speak. Their affliction never failed to touch the compassionate heart of our divine Savior. Our Lord figuratively healed those who were speechless, those without hearing. And how do we use this gift? St. James gives us very, very good solitary advice. Is be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. And to quote Cornelius Lapide, he was a scripture commentator from the Middle Ages, he says, God has given man open ears that he might hear many things, but a tongue enclosed within two barriers, the teeth and the lips, that he might be slow to speak. Hearing brings us to the knowledge of God and faith in him, and to faith in him, the gospel was preached to those who would listen, like to those who heard, who are capable of hearing. And speech or words enables us to confess him for our own salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, as St. Paul says in his Epistle to the Romans, and entereth into the heart. And with the heart we believe unto justice, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A profession of the faith, in other words. This gift of hearing should be therefore used with alertness, docility, and eagerness to learn whatsoever things that are true, whatsoever modest, whatsoever holy, whatsoever of good fame. So this is to be done, the development of our intellects and the faculty of hearing and speech with the help of our parents, of course, but further developed by thorough Catholic education. And finally, continued increase and carried on as far as possible toward perfection by a sincere, honest, and upright Christian life, sustained by God's grace and by the sacraments. And this development won't be possible unless we learn our faith better, unless we learn the catechism, know the catechism, not just memorizing answers to questions, but understanding it so we can put it into practice on a daily basis. Much of the fruitless and even injurious speculation of the day is the result of overmuch hearing all these different things, different theories, unguided by proper Christian education, by the proper Christian principles. So being slow to speak can also mean that the speech of a sensible, intelligent person should be the expression of truth through a certain degree of wisdom. To quote the book of Ecclesiasticus in the Old Testament, hide not thy wisdom in her beauty, for by the tongue wisdom is discerned, and understanding and knowledge by the word of the wise. But neither truth nor wisdom, learning nor prudence, is to be expected in hasty or inconsiderate speech. So we should often think before we say something, before we say anything. And we should be careful, especially of idle talk, of course, bad language. Taking the name of God in vain is all around us today, of course. Especially with regard to ourselves, we should be careful of sins of tongue against our neighbor, of detracting our neighbor, calumniating him, lying about him, being overly critical of others. And we should lastly be thankful to God for these two great gifts, a sense of gratitude, and to make good use and prudent use of them according to God's will, avoiding as far as possible the many sins that may be committed by hearing and speaking, listening to idle conversation, uncharitable talk, scandalous stories, or whatever, thus turning God's precious gifts against him, or using them only to offend him. And we should pray for a pure, honest, and truth-loving heart, with for docility and reverence in listening to whatsoever is good and profitable. And lastly, for prudence and charity in speech. We should seriously take to heart the petition from today's collect, from today's Mass. O God, who makest the minds of the faithful to be of one will, grant to thy people to love that which thou commandest and to desire which thou hast promised, that so among the changing things of this world, our hearts may be set where true joys are to be found. We'll only really be able to love God's commandments and desire his promises when we faithfully follow his teaching up in the Holy Scripture, as written and taught by his apostles, and also taught by himself as well. Being more ready and docile to hear the divine teaching and put it into practice through good works, showing a good example to our neighbor by not indulging in idle or uncharitable talk. Receiving God's word in meekness or true humility, this important virtue upon which the flowers of all the other virtues grow, the opposite of which separates us from God, the capital sin of pride. Remember that this is the specific difference between those who follow our Lord and those who follow the world, the flesh, and the devil, the humble or the proud. So let us resolve to humbly do God's will by the daily acceptance of our daily cross, at the same time being a good example to our neighbor, by practicing those virtues, becoming a true Christian, a true Catholic, especially faith, hope, and charity. These theological virtues that directly link us to God, being docile to the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, God the Sanctifier, the Father of Lights, the Spirit of Truth who sanctified us at the time of our baptism and perfected our baptismal grace at the time of our confirmation, making us spiritual adults through the character and grace of the important sacrament of confirmation. Finally, let us keep in mind and heart these words from today's gospel, the words of our Lord. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will teach you all truth. But may God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thou commandest the desire which thou hast promised, that so among the changing things of this world, our hearts may be set where true joys are to be found. We'll only really be able to love God, God's commandments, and desire His promises when we faithfully follow of His teaching up in the Holy Scripture, as written and taught by the apostles. Being more ready and docile to hear the divine teaching and put it into practice through good works, the practice of good works, showing good example to our neighbor, and by not indulging in idle or uncharitable talk, receiving God's word in meekness or true humility of heart, this important virtue upon which the flowers of all the other virtues grow, the opposite of which separates us from God, which is the capital vice of pride, sin of pride. Remember that this is the specific difference between those who follow our Lord and those who follow the world, the flesh, and the devil, the humble or the proud, diametrically opposed to each other. So let us resolve to humbly do God's will by the daily acceptance of our daily cross, at the same time being a good example to our neighbor by practicing those virtues, becoming a true Christian, especially faith, hope, and charity. The theological virtues that directly link us to God, being docile to the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, God the Sanctifier, the Spirit of Truth, who has sanctified us at the time of our baptism and perfected our baptismal grace at the time of our confirmation, making us spiritual adults through the character and grace of the sacraments. Finally, let us keep in mind and heart these words from today's gospel. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will teach you all truth. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.